Right, let's have a word of prayer and then we will get this show on the road. It's good to have you all here. Please pray for those that aren't. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, Lord, for watching over us, for keeping an eye on us, Lord, just for your many blessings and helps. Would you please be one of our number this morning as we spend this time around your word and singing your praises and do that work that only you can do, Lord, in our hearts. And not just ours, Lord, but don't forget Brother Stan and Sister Karen and the folks in Bangors, the two Stuarts and their families and all the kids. Lord, for Monica's folks, for the Asquiths and the Haynes, Lord, as they minister to the folks in Black Creek and indeed their own families. Lord, for every single soul that opens your word, the King James, and preaches the full counsel of it. I pray especially for Phil Seeley and Grace. I pray you, Lord, please for, especially for our absent brethren, for Ling and Frank, for Dr. Shang, for Christine, for Esther, for Pat and Steve, for Carol and Stephen and John, Lord. Please, I pray you for your good hand upon each and every one of us. Please, Lord, use the leaflets that have gone out over the years. I pray you, Lord, for an answer to my prayer for those that have been hidden in down the back of sofas, the back of bookcases, and the bottoms of drawers, and that they would be brought to people's attention. Please use them, Lord, to convict and save. I pray you, Lord, that you would bless our time here, that you would lead us through the service. You provide me the words to speak, that you would bless the reading and the teaching of your word, the tithes and the offerings, and just the fellowship as well, Lord. Please be with the leaders of our countries. Please, Lord, protect Israel. And Lord, we ask this, and of course our private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. 102 will be our first hymn this morning. 102. Hide of my sin.
Oh, glory to God. soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to me. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Amen. All right, keep your hymn books open
and go to hymn number 27. And we will keep our vocal cords good and active with a rendition of the Old Rugged Cross.
So I'll cherish. Away for a little bit and follow along with Norman as he brings us the Bible reading.
This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 13 and reading the whole chapter. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what building are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign, and when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering said them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand, that ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men, for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the name shall be saved. And when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing there, it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house, and let him that is in the field not turn back again, or to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall it be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find ye sleeping. And that I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. All right, gentlemen and lady, just want to bring to your attention the yellow prayer list that's done in honor of Norman's tie this morning. So please do take one, and please do make sure that you lift up the names that are mentioned on that in prayer. There are a number of families that have lost loved ones recently. And please do pray for the Cairns family and for the Cardwell family, if you would, for the Ritchies as well, for Will and his family. And please do pray for each other. We do miss a lot of people. Ling is absent because I think four of her patients were exposed to COVID-19, and she doesn't want to carry any sickness to us. So please do remember that, if you would. Does anybody have any private prayer requests that they'd like to make known? Just you this morning, Will, and anybody else, right? Lord knows what those are. Please do pray for our leaders. Please do pray for not just ours, but the leaders of countries right the way around the world, and our brethren in all of these different countries. There's a very real need. Some of the things that Norman was reading says, when you see these things come to pass, you'll know that it's at the very doors. And we used to sit and and look at things happening out in the world and be glad that we were in our little ivory tower where nothing could hit us, but we're now just as deep in it as everybody else. Please just be much in prayer. And just mind yourselves as well. Look after yourselves physically. Look after yourselves spiritually. And just keep your eyes on the Lord. Is there anything else we would need to be thinking on or praying about? Okay. That'll work for me. That'll work for me. We'll have another word of prayer. Will, would you lead us? And then we'll sing another song. Thank you, brother.
Dear Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for bringing us out to the church this morning. Lord, you know it's tough. Lord, people who came into life, Lord, but the world, Lord, people going to church, Lord, to learn more from you and get instruction, correction, doctrine, or prayer, or more, or basically your love, Lord, shown through the gospel, Lord, and expository, godly men are being saved, Lord, to those who are lost and to those who are saved also, Lord. With Frank and Lane, Dr. Shine, Lord, bless them and keep Lord prepared for them and deliver from COVID-19, Lord, and with Lane, Lord, help her and provide for her, Lord. And with my grandma family, Stephen, John, and Carl, Lord, save their souls, Lord, bring them just at one time, Lord, and save their souls from Mary, Lord, and bring the full flow across where they can make that transaction for eternal life. With Christine and with Esther, Lord, with Esther and her illness, Lord, help her and cure her, Lord, and stop her from feeling any pain, Lord, and give her grace and give her the gifts, Lord, that only she needs. With Stephen Pat, bless him with diabetes, and with Steve's foot in his leg, Lord, healed and cured, Lord, and provide for them and keep them, Lord, and give them everything they need, Lord. Also, Lord, with Norman, Lord, and his morning, Lord, provide for them and keep them and bless them also, Lord. And Lord, with Davey and Aaron and Lucas, Lord, save Lucas and Aaron, Lord, and save their souls, Lord, and bring them to the house next point time. With Mark and Monica, Lord, bless them also in the service, Lord, and bless them mightily, Lord. Lord, may our service be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Provide for us this day, Lord. Give us a message for us, only Lord, that only you can give through the Spirit, Lord. And be with us in case for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Thanks, Will. Amen. Matt, appreciate Norman doing the Bible reading. That was suggested to us by Brother Steve, still keen to take part in the service. And we do miss him. He was just saying there that I think since whenever the churches were allowed to meet, until they weren't allowed to meet, he's only been here once, I think, in the past, 7 or 8 months. So he's missing the company. Please do pray for him and Pat. Hymn number 66. If you'd like to take your hymn books and turn there. Hymn number 66, if you're able. I'd like to stand as we sing at Calvary. Number 66.
Oh,
Thank you very much. Do we have a suggestion for our penultimate song of this service? Our penultimate.
103. 103. Yeah, 103 under his wings. That's a new one.
Certainly is. Would you like to lead it?
Okay.
Do you know it?
Yes, I think I know my
flute.
Oh, grand.
Well,
thanks, Margaret.
Well, give it a shot, Will. All credit to Will. I do mean credit, not blame. Amen. Under his wings, we'll pray an extra verse. We'll play an extra verse by way of an introduction, and we will give it a shot. Thank you, Will. That's an easy tune. I don't know what happened there.
It's a quality street in Moses.
I think that was the extra verse, would it have been?
Yeah, just get the intro.
Okay. Intro. Protected, no evil can harm. Although I would have liked to be able to sing better. But amen, thank you for that. Well, a good introduction to, I was going to say a new to us hymn, but a nearly new to us hymn. Amen. Right, we're in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn there. Isaiah chapter 9. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to begin at verse number 1, and we are going to read until verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to spend a little while this morning on, I have the names of God, but it's really only some of the names of God from Isaiah chapter 9. The Word of God says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is confused, is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Verses 6 and 7 will be our text this morning. And we're going to be speaking on the subject of some of the names of God. I'll have a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Christy, would you pray for us, please, if you would?
Lord, we thank you for this day, for your house, Lord, for the liberties we still have in this land. Lord, we're grateful for like-minded brethren, Lord, in these times. Help us this morning. Honor your word. Bless the preacher, Lord. Guide me, help me pray. Fresh anointing, Lord, a lifting up, Lord, clearing of worries, fears, Lord, whatever it is that would trouble, Lord, your man at this hour, that you take them and clear the decks, Lord, and just speak through and we pray. Lord, just as you spoke to every man in their language in Acts, when, Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon the souls, I pray that you'd speak to every man and woman here with their needs, Lord, please, individually. Bless the message, guide and lead in your word, Father. Just accomplish your will here this morning. Remember those that couldn't be with us, and Lord, those that would click in the sermon as well. Bless them. Help, Lord, provide their needs. Be with those families that are grieving. I pray a special touch today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christy. Amen. All right. These portions of God's Word should not be unfamiliar with us. They are probably two of the most clear verses of Scripture that show us that this child that was born, goodness, upwards of 1,000 years later, not quite that long, but a good number of 100 years later, was indeed the prophesied Son of God. Talks about a few other things, and then it's almost like the prophet pulled his handbrake and started heading in a different direction with this little portion of prophecy. And normally I would be going and doing a bit of Bible study into the bit before, but I'm really interested in this little bit and then in some of the names that are mentioned. Unlike every other prophet, and I use the term in quotes, and religious leader that has ever been mentioned, there has never been one that was born without an earthly father. In fact, even recently, and I think in the last week or two, there was a Russian man who stood up and claimed to be the Messiah. I don't know if you came across it in the news, but he dressed like Jesus. I think he was lifted by the Russian authorities because he was up to all sorts of shenanigans. But whenever anybody stands up to claim that they are Jesus Christ, the first thing you have to ask them is, how did you get there? Because if he didn't come down from the sky, if he literally did not fly down from the sky under his own power, he's not Jesus. Because as the disciples watched Jesus ascend up into the clouds and out of sight, the angel said this, he'll come exactly the same way as he left. And if it's that is not it, then the person that claims to be the Christ is not. He is a Christ. He is an antichrist, and in place of Christ. And sadly, many souls are so ready to trust in a Savior that they will believe anybody that even looks or sounds like a Savior, even if it's a scraggly, bearded, long-haired hippie that believes in free love and just happened to be about 60 years too late in his teachings. Isaiah is one of the greatest prophetic books in the Bible. It is full of stuff. It includes the verse where it talks about the Lord being born of a virgin. The most famous and descriptive chapter of the work that Jesus Christ came to do in Isaiah 53, a chapter of the Bible well worth being familiar with, and a perfect description, not of Christ being tortured and crucified on the cross, but what that sacrifice actually meant, the payment for our sins. It also gives us an insight into the heart and mind of the devil and those that follow him. In other words, they just want to be their own gods. They just want to set up the rules and do what they want to do. The do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, being the credo of the modern Satanist. And it's still the credo of the old Satanist as well. Those that want to worship their feelings. Those that want to call the devil their master. But I wanted to have a look at these two verses. And I want for us just to think for a moment. I don't know if you've ever... Everybody knows the most famous verse of Scripture, John 3:16. It's the one that's mentioned first, even in the Gideon's Bibles. But if you ever stopped and have had a look at that and break it down just a word or two at a time, it means so much more than a lot of people think, as it trips easily off the tongue. And I do believe this is the same. We're thinking about some of the names of God. And the first one I want to draw to your attention is Son. It says a child is born, a son is given. And that's sort of a two for one there, because that talks about the only begotten Son of God. Not the created sons of God, the angels, and certainly not ourselves, the adopted sons of God. But I am thankful for those two. I'm thankful for the angels that minister to us. And I am thankful that the Lord made a space at the table for me and will do for anybody else. But there is only one begotten, not one Son of God, one begotten Son of God. And he was given us for a reason. And that, of course, we know was to pay for our sins. As we read on, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He wasn't charged out. He wasn't given on loan. He wasn't given for a certain monthly rent. He was given freely, forever and sure, to anybody that will bow the knee. That is, again, John 3:16. It also talks about him being a governor. As we go on there, it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the word of God talks about the Lion of Judah ruling with a rod of iron, not the Lamb of God, not begging and pleading for souls to accept him as their Savior and his Father, our Father, as Lord, but who has come to break the nations in shivers as a man breaks a piece of pottery with that rod of iron. And it's not going to be a pleasant life for all of those whose lives are built upon breaking God's laws. For the Christian, it's going to be great. There won't be any sleeping around. There won't be any drug. Well, let me put it another way. There will be those things, but there will be punishment for those things. There are not going to be places where you can go and drink, because the Bible preaches repeatedly against drunkenness. The only time that the Bible ever said to take a drink is if you are in desperate pain and ready to die, just to numb the pain. That's the only time. But he's going to be a governor. He's going to be the ruler. The Word of God says, as we read on through the Word of God, and right up to Revelation chapter 20, it describes 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling the world from Israel. And it talks about the nations of those that hated him going and paying homage to him every year, being made to bow the knee. Everyone, the Bible says, will bow the knee, and everyone will admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some at the foot of the cross of their own free will, whenever they're made aware of their sins and the great trouble that they're in, and others at the point of a sword in glory or not glory, in God's glory and in their shame, just before they're thrown into the lake of fire. But the sad thing about it is, no one ever has to. No one ever had to. Word of God gives us the next name here as Wonderful. Not a lot of people think that living the Christian life is wonderful. Most people are under this description that we walk around like that, bowed over with the burdens that God lays upon us. We walk like that and we go, woe is me. And that we should be whipping ourselves, you know, like those monks did in years gone by, because we shouldn't be enjoying ourselves, and we shouldn't have a great God. But the Bible says God is wonderful. He wants to give us, the Bible says, all good things. Now that doesn't necessarily mean we get perfect health and wealth and prosperity and everything we touch turns to gold. But he wants to give us good things. He wants us to grow and learn. He wants us to have comfort and strength. He wants us to be there whenever he calls. What a lot of people are going to end up missing again for the next few weeks is going to be a purpose. With no work, with no company, with nobody to tell them how great they are and how wonderful life is, a lot of people are going to have not so wonderful the next couple of weeks as we head towards lockdown again. The thing about it is, when you are walking and talking with God, no matter what situation the world is in, you are always walking and talking with God. You will always have his comfort, his strength, his provision. You will always have his ministry, his word rattling about in your heart, if you've taken time to put it there. Life can be good whenever you walk with God. If you think even back to the time when Adam and Eve used to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, life was good. And they really missed it whenever it was gone. In fact, people have been missing it so much ever since that people will do the wickedest of things to try and blot out the conviction of sins, to try and drown out the God's call upon them. But I wouldn't change my walk and talk with God for the highest paying job anywhere in the world, for all the tea in China, as they used to say. Anyway, we go on and we see the next word is Counselor, the next name of God. God is the best advice. He does. His laws. You see, the thing about it is, people tend to say, and I'm guilty of it myself, God has some good advice to give us. But what is advice? Advice is just something that a bit of wisdom that someone says, here you go, you can take it or leave it. That's what people tend to think of God. But God's word is not advice. God's word is law. And the problem is, whenever we don't take God's word as law and apply it to our lives, we start having problems. And the thing with God's law is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whenever we're up on the mountaintops and we're having a high old time, God's law is still God's law. Whenever we're down in the dumps in the depths of the valley, God's law is still law. It's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Can you imagine if God's power was at our fingertips and we got up one morning and we'd had maybe a bad night and we were just angry at the world? How many countries, how many households would be laid waste by fire from heaven or lightning or earthquakes? And then we get up the next day and we feel great. How many people would be getting gifts and would be having their prayers answered if it was up to us? I am thankful that God is our counselor and not our hearts our counselor, because he will always point in one direction. It's always to glorify God. It's always to give God first place in our lives, and everything else will find its proper place. Next one is the mighty God. And we're going to come to, we'll probably spend a moment or two talking about that as the service goes on, but he's a mighty God. He's not going to be a God that gets pushed over. I know we sometimes get pushed over. We're limited. But God isn't. He's unlimited. You can never beat God. You might rail against God your whole life. You might use his name to curse and to damn people to hell. You might make fun of his followers. I guarantee you, all it'll take is a few turns of those hands around that clock and you'll be standing in front of God, wringing your hands with tears coming out of your eyes, saying, oh, I'm so sorry, because you will never beat God. We go on and we find out also that he is the everlasting Father. Genesis 1 and 1 talks about Jesus, about God being there in the beginning. He invented time. Before the seconds started ticking, God was. And whenever time is no more and has no more effect on us, God will still be. And he is justly named the Great I Am. He lives, he is outside of time, untouched by time, and uses it just like we would use a pocket knife or any other tool at our disposal. He is not relegated by that or not limited by that at all. He is everlasting. And he is our Father. Remember that. He is a loving Father. He wants the best for his children. The next word or the next name of God is the Prince of Peace. And the one that immediately springs to mind, we were having a little bit of a read at some verses of scripture not that very long ago where, I think it was Norman this morning, was talking about a man's foes being of his own, from his own household. People's own churches going against him. The foes would be his own household. And unfortunately, Jesus didn't come to bring peace between man and man. Because then you would have to believe some of the most wicked things in the world to get on with terrorists and murderers and this, that and the other. Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. In other words, that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. That's what Jesus came to bring, and that's why his name is the Prince of Peace. He is the means by which this is brought to us. Verse number 7, of the increase of his governance there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, he is a king, the King of Kings. He is also a judge, and we're going to mention this as well. And he is just. Do you see that? And always has been. He is also zealous. I like that verse. See that? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, if God has said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Should it happen in the next 5 minutes? Should it happen as when Norman was reading this morning, where the disciples came and said, look at this lovely temple. And Jesus said, do you see this lovely temple? And not even be one stone left standing on another. And about 30 years later, the Romans burned the place to the ground. The gold went in between all the bricks and the soldiers tore every single stone apart, looking to fish out the wee bits of gold. Not one stone was left standing upon another. Should it happen in 30 years, 300 years, or 2,000 years, God will make sure his word happens. Anyway, those are just wanted a brief reference to those words. Those names of God, and I wanted to have a look at a few other. I sort of split this up into the names of God that everybody knows, and then the names of God that only saved people should know him as, or can know him as. To every soul, including lost souls, that has not repented of their sins, this is the true God. People have lots of gods and lots of things they worship and spend time on and put effort into, but this is the true God that you will see and experience. The Creator, the God, the Prophet, the Adversary, and the Judge. And no matter if you trust in Christ as your Savior or not, he's still your Creator. He spoke everything in the beginning. He created everything, the heaven and the earth. He created time, he created space, and he created matter. All those things which are handy if you ever go to do something. God created them all. People might say, oh, it was a big explosion. Most times people get things back to front from God whenever they're doing things on their own, off of their own bat. God says things will end with a great heat and a fervent noise, but he said things started with a word. He is the Creator. All the animals, all the elements, all the people, God created them. Set the wheels turning. And we put our hands to it, and it's sort of been going wrong ever since, but there you go. He is always God. He has never stopped being God. It doesn't matter how many people reject him from being God. It doesn't matter how many people go to other churches, worship the devil, stay in their beds, worship themselves from under the quilt, watch TV, go out and drink coffee. God is still God. He does not become less powerful just because there's fewer people in the church. He's still God. And his word and his will and his power will endure forever. It doesn't matter what we say or what we do. It is not going to make God any less God. It will make us less of a person if we don't give ourselves a good shake from time to time and point ourselves in the right direction. But it won't make God any less God. He's the prophet. People don't like that. And in fact, for thousands of years, they've been plagiarizing his promises and his prophecies. But God is a prophet. He tells the future. And all of the things that were mentioned again in Mark 13 and in Matthew 24, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by getting the reference wrong in Luke, but all of those things, maybe 50 or 60 years ago, we'd have thought, yeah, that's just a biblical promise. Maybe 70 years ago. But hold on a second, then Israel became a nation, just like the Bible says. Then our wars and rumors of wars take off, just like the Bible says. Then we come to the point in the grand development of man where every eye can see everything that's going on anywhere in the world, just like the Bible said, and that couldn't have happened over even, 50, 60, 70 years ago. To individuals, God's promises are still coming true. And globally, all the things that God said are still happening. And you can say that's not in the Bible all you like, but it's in the Bible and it's happening just like God said it would. God is a prophet, even to the lost. Here's the one that people don't like. The judge. What's the first thing? If you sort of look out the corner of your eye, if somebody's doing something that you don't really approve of, and you know that's wrong as far as the Word of God says, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't hold the Bible up against me and say that I am falling far short. And what that soul doesn't realize is that we've all fallen far short, that we all need a Savior. But God is the judge. Most fearful place in the universe is not to be found here in life. It's to be found after this life is over at the great white throne of judgment. And again in Revelation chapter 20, where every soul that has rejected God is brought before him and made to see exactly, I am sure, every opportunity that they had to accept Christ as Savior, but also the consequences of rejecting him as Savior. And all of those that they brought along with them. Reminded of why. Why they've just spent the last X amount of time in hell. And why they're going to be spent an endless eternity in the lake of fire. That's all going to happen at the great white throne of judgment. Because God does not judge them worthy of hell. We did that. When a soul refuses to accept Christ as their Savior, they are securing their place in hell and then the lake of fire. God wants everybody in heaven, but he's never going to force anybody. And that judgment takes place here in this world. Day by day, when the Holy Spirit speaks to people and reminds them and taps them on the shoulder, even you and me, Christian. But the Holy Spirit convicts the lost of their sins. Every day, whenever we walk out, say, oh, isn't that sunset lovely? Oh, look at those little bugs. Isn't that crazy, the things that they do? Or look at those beautiful big brown dragonflies that remind me of a B-50. This is a B-52 Super Fortress. That thing just flying past your face. Oh, if it hit you in the head, it would nearly give you a concussion. And then the tiny little blue and green ones, and you think, oh, that's amazing. That's amazing what an explosion can do. I don't know about you folks, but I have had 55 years in this land. I have lived through a civil war which is technically still going on. And there's not one explosion ever healed somebody of anything or put a building up. They always and ever did destroy. Even nuclear explosions, there's been plenty of those in the world. Not once did they ever create a new universe. Definitely not anyway. God's our judge. The Bible says all judgment is given unto the Son. He'd be asking people, why didn't you accept me as your Savior? Well, Lord, I like to drink. Lord, I like to lie in bed. Lord, the best restaurants were always open just whenever I needed to get out to church and so on and so forth. We used to have a list of excuses at the back of the book as to why people never get, or at the back of the back of the church as to why people never get saved, but the long and short of it is, if you reject Christ as your Savior, you're already judged, and you're already found guilty of hell. As far as everybody goes, I'm sure, just as we go here, this isn't an exhaustive list, by the way. God is also the adversary. Every soul that is rejecting him. And the reason I call him adversary, because of the parable that the Lord spoke of, and he said, when you find yourself on the road to the court with your adversary, agree with him quickly before you get there. Because if you don't, when you get there, you'll be cast into prison and you'll not be let loose until you've paid the uttermost part of your debt. And God is that adversary. It's not that he is our enemy, it's that we are his enemy. As long as we say no to Christ and no to God, We're the enemies of God. We are the adversaries of God. He's always going the same direction. That journey is our lives. That courtroom is when our lives are over and whenever the judgment, if you like, is enforced. It doesn't take place, it's enforced. And we would need to make sure we have reconciled with our adversary. All of these things are for everybody. But as we go on, I would like to think about these few other names of God that many people, most people in this world, will never get to call God. And the first, of course, is Savior and Redeemer. Yes, we walk through this life with God as our adversary until we see Him as our Savior and Redeemer. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that even as they walk with God and He convicts them of our sin, He also says, look, I will pay for that sin. I will redeem you if you will admit that you're wrong. If people could genuinely see their great peril, they would be doing that in a flash and in droves. But sadly, it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes it takes a great deal of hardship to strip away the veneer that people have covered their lives with until they see exactly where they are. From the cross of Calvary right the way back to when Adam and Eve walked and talked in the garden, God has been Savior and Redeemer. He redeemed Adam and Eve with the skin of shed blood and the skin of an innocent substitute. He redeemed Noah and his wife and Shem and Ham and Japheth and their three wives when the whole world was judged and found wanting in the ark. Do you remember when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain for the sacrifice? And Isaac said, where's the sacrifice, Dad? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Do you remember the account of Joseph and his 11 brethren and how they, well, 10 of them, 9 of them, schemed and wheeled and dealed to kill him, and he became the great savior of the Jewish people. Cast down like the Lord come down to this earth. Made very low like unto a servant and eventually elevated to second in command of pretty much the entire world of Egypt at the time. He wants every living soul saved and in heaven. And he gives us the whip to choose. Do you know if we didn't have a choice, this church would be full. Every church would be full. There'd be no prisons. There'd be no murders. But we have a choice. Should a soul choose salvation, then the following are not just the names of God that you read in your book, but they're the names of your God, of my God. One that we can't ignore, of course, is the Word of God. That is one of the titles of God Almighty. It's the name of Jesus. Talks in John 1 of the Word of God being given flesh and dwelling amongst us. But that's where the power of God comes from. Romans 1 tells us that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. To anyone that believeth, in other words, trust it and it'll save you. It'll save your soul and it'll save your life whenever you do what God says. Yep, there's going to be a few rough edges that'll get rubbed off as you rub shoulders or rub against the shoulders of others going the other way, but that's what the Word of God is for you. It's power, if you want it. Then we have Abba Father. And I know a lot of people think of God as this creature, this being that is so far above and beyond us that all that we can do is, well, see a little bit of his glory or his reflection in his Son, Jesus Christ. But he is our Abba Father. He desires to have with us the relationship of a father with a beloved child. And don't be thinking that God loved Jesus more than he loved us, because he knew and was willing to sacrifice himself to save yours and my soul. He loves us. And not only does he love us enough to die on the cross for us, he loves us enough to sit on the throne of heaven for us as he is our intercessor. Whenever the devil comes and he's... I know Kenny Everett wasn't a great character from years. Do you ever remember him with the big... the brotherly love, I think that was the name, and he had these big hands. That's the way the devil comes to God Almighty in heaven. And he points one of those big fingers at us, and he points another big finger at him, and he said, your son did this. And Jesus said, Father, I paid for that. And so much more. And every time he comes blaming one of God's children, no point in blaming him about lost people. He's the accuser of the brethren, not the lost. Jesus says, I paid for that. He is our intercessor. I don't know about you, but sometimes people don't need food. Sometimes they don't need a drink of something, a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. They don't need money. They don't need clothes. All they need is a little bit of time, a little bit of company. I think that's what's hurting a lot of people, what's going to hurt a lot of people in the next few weeks. But God is our comforter as well. Jesus promised the disciples that God would comfort them. The Holy Spirit that spends all of his time with us, even when we don't want to spend that time with him, he's our comforter. He wants to cheer us up. He wants to lift us up. He wants to rejoice with us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to whisper in our ears, look, you made a tough decision and a lot of people have turned their backs on you, but you did the right thing. It's in the Word of God. And when all of those people and all of their foolish sayings or beliefs are dust and ashes, yours will still stand. It's good to have something noble, something great to believe in, and you will find nothing more noble than the cause that Christ has given every soul to seek and to save that which is lost. He is our teacher, our rabbi, our master. And in his word, which has been preserved at great cost, friends, he keeps his word, his instructions for us. Right there. And if you will lean on him and not on your own understanding, things will go so much better for him. I notice sometimes when people pray, the number of times we use Lord to address God. But Lord implies some form of governance. It implies an element of obedience, obeisance. In other words, subjugating your will to that of your Lord. In generations, maybe thousands of years of man's history, Lord meant so much more than just a name that tripped off the lips. It meant your life was in the hands of your Lord. And we don't understand this today, but our lives are in the hands of our Lord God Almighty. And we would do well to remember that and to obey him. It's not an awful burden. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you will find rest to your soul when you do things my way. So do it his way. What about the great physician? They called Jesus the physician, didn't they? Save yourself, they cried to him. Jesus said, when before it happened, you will say that to me. Whenever we're hurting and low, God's there to put us back on our feet again. And even to heal us. The Word of God says there, he is there for us as a friend, closer than a brother. So even when we are all alone in our beds at 3 o'clock in the morning, when the rest of the world is fast asleep, at least our little part of it, God's still there. He is always there. And he's the righteous judge. God has made all of his decisions already. He certainly has. It's only a matter of us falling in line. And some of them's not easy. But they're always right. And they'll always be best for us. When he carried out the work of the payment for our sins, he was the Son of God. When we need someone to relate to and call to, he is the Son of Man. He is the Jewish Messiah, and he is the bright and the morning star, not to be confused with Lucifer, the son of the morning. The morning goes and is gone forever, but the bright and the morning star is always there. He's always there. Even when the clouds come and the sunshine shines and just blots it out, the bright and morning star is still there. For every occasion in life, there is a name of God for you. Whenever, before phones and things became so common, they used to say there's an app for that, didn't they? For every situation in life, every situation in life. Even in this one right now, when the preaching's gone on for maybe about 50 minutes, I think. There's a name for God in there. He's long-suffering and patient. And I'm hoping to see a little bit of that in you folks and me as well. There's a name for God for you right now. Whether you're going through the depths of despair, whether you're on the mountaintops, or whether you've just got your eyes on the prize and it's a matter of enduring until the end, there's a name of God that will suit you, that will help you, and will be with you. Even if God comes to you in the form of a brother or sister, there's a name of God for every situation in life. And I would pray that you would never forget that. No matter where you find yourself, no matter the situation, no matter the time of your life, God is always there for you. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much for your good time and attention this morning. God bless you. Have we got a closing hymn? Anybody got one? You got one? Go on ahead. 105. All that thrills my soul. If you're able, we'll stand and sing 105. All that thrills my soul. That one. I'm not having much success hitting these.
Redemption name.
divine relying. He is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of delights in my blessed Lord I see. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing. My soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you, Lord, for the liberty that we still have to meet together for your word. And I pray you, Lord, that whether it was the Bible reading, a prayer, or, Lord, the preaching, the teaching, Lord, you know what we need. Even as we leave, Lord, and go home to continue on with our day and our week, please, Lord, minister to us and help us and edify us. Just thank you for watching over us and for your Son, for your word. And Lord, we ask this on our private prayer requests, Lord. We ask them all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.